You are listening to episode 43 of the Sunday Shakeout, featuring an exploration into how to execute your training. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Shakeout. I am your host, Nicholas. This episode features a deep dive into the delicate balance between sticking to your training plan and listening to your body's signals. I'm here to shed some light on how to navigate this critical aspect of a runner's journey and execute the training process to its fullest potential. I will be delving into the importance of recognizing your body's warning signs, strategies for adjusting your training to stay on course towards your goals, why understanding the difference between pushing through and deviating from your plan is key to long-term success, and finally, tips on how to make single workout adjustments, multi-workout adjustments, and long-term changes when necessary. Now you might be asking, why talk about training execution? Well, runners, the purpose of this episode is to equip you with the knowledge and strategies to ensure that you reach your peak performance while safeguarding your well-being. If you are new to the Sunday Shakeout, let me give you a quick rundown. This show is your go-to source for in-depth training analysis, viable training tips, unbiased and reliable physiology and science, and so much more. Whether you're a beginner taking your first rides or an experienced runner aiming for new heights, the Sunday Shakeout provides you with the information you need to run faster, stay injury-free, and most importantly, stay happy on your running journey. So let's lace up those shoes, hit the road, and dive into the world of training execution, a topic that most runners actually lack mastery in. Without further ado, please enjoy my guide to how to successfully and safely execute your training. All right, so I will admit that most runners, including myself, complete every workout in their training plan exactly as designed, no matter what. You know, like, we're gonna push through today. We're not gonna take a rest day. No, never. So while we should never be planning for injuries in our training cycle, because, you know, that's simply, like, pessimistic, we should be ready to combat something. You know, maybe we're ready to tackle a sore spot on the knee, shin, calf, whatever it is. You just need to recognize that you should not push through that and continue to do all of your workouts as planned. Now, there are certain situations where you can run through an injury and it will get better as long as you do rehab. I've had that happen, you know, with knee issues mainly, if it's like a really small knee issue. And, you know, we'll talk about that in a whole nother episode when it comes to running through injuries. But if you just assume that, you know, a little sore spot that you have is just a sign that you're training hard and that you know, you should just push on. If you just assume that that's a good thing, it's just going to turn into a full-blown injury that renders you completely unable to train. Trust me, I have pushed through injuries and a whole bunch of problems myself when it feels like someone is driving just a complete ice pick up my foot. And let me tell you, it doesn't really get much better unless I rehab it and rest. Every run is just sheer pain, and if you're like 99% of runners, you just want to enjoy running. You just want to enjoy the training process. And running while your hip is excruciating is not at all a recipe for success and happiness and fulfillment, so don't ever do that. Same thing goes for if you're pushing through a workout when you are unexpectedly fatigued. If you push through, but you are really, really fatigued, then you will just go into this downward spiral of always being fatigued and overtrained, and it's only a matter of time before you really do get sick or injured. And all I'm saying here is listen to your body. Now, this episode is not about how to deal with injuries, but rather how to execute your training and stick to the plan. While at the same time, you also need to recognize how to listen to your body. It's important to recognize that a training plan is just a plan. It's not a set of orders or commandments that you have to live or die by. Your training plan represents the ideal scenario. It's essentially the sequence of workouts that you hope to perform if everything goes as expected. But here's the sad truth. It is unlikely that you are going to be unable to go the entire training process, meaning week one to your goal race. It is unlikely that you are going to be able to go the entire process without at least one hiccup. And that doesn't just have to be an injury. Anything could affect your training in a negative way. Maybe that's poor recovery, substandard performance, an illness, a trouble spot in your body. Maybe it's poor nutrition, sleep, you know, or signs that you just aren't progressing as you should. It's like trying to drive from I-5 from the border of US-Canada border all the way to the Baja Peninsula. You're not going to be able to go the whole way without getting in really bad traffic at one time or another, being exhausted from all of the driving, or you might even just sustain a flat tire or some other car issue. And when things don't always go as planned, sometimes you have to depart from the course of workouts, the course of action, laid out in your training plan, but stay on course towards the race you were training for. Maybe in the case of, you know, this I-5 trip, which, you know, I would never do. That's pretty dumb. I don't like road trips at all. But let's say you do go on this road trip. Maybe the traffic becomes really, really bad, and you have to plan a last-minute stay at a nearby hotel to spend the night. That is totally fine. It is so much better than drinking 10 cups of coffee, trying to pull an all-nighter while driving. And, you know, that'll just put you at more risk for just total exhaustion and just put you at increased risk that you're going to wreck. Similarly, if you have an injury, don't be downing dozens of ibuprofens so that you can simply run and train, because that will just make the injury worse because you're not listening to your body. Instead, take some time to figure out an alternate but still sensible route whilst sticking to the main plan. I know that recently I had an SI joint problem, which is essentially where the hip and the, or the pelvis and the spine meet, and it's an important place where you absorb shock. And so if the muscles around the, I think it's the hip, if the muscles around the hip get really super tight, then you can start to have this really bad like pain near your SI joint. It feels like somebody is driving an invisible ice pick up your hip, and it is really, really painful. And so I had that recently, and I kept running on it, and did it hurt like heck? It sure did. And did I keep running on it? Yep. And did it get better? Of course not. It didn't really get worse. It just didn't get better. It was only once I took a few days off to let it heal did it actually get better. And so to achieve your best performance in the big dance, you really, really have to prioritize your body and make sure your body is at 100%, because your body is your asset. You have to take care of it. Now, to achieve your best performance in the big dance, your goal race, two main things are required. The first thing you need is a solid training plan, and the second thing you need is to execute the plan. You need to successfully execute the training so that you can arrive to your goal race as fit as possible, and also just overall as ready and as injury-free as possible. Now, successful training execution essentially just means making the most of every day. It also means making the most of every situation and making the right decisions in those moments. Now, sometimes executing the training properly might actually mean deviating from your plan just a little bit in appropriate ways necessary from your first day of training to your last. But that doesn't mean that your training plan goes out the window the moment you put it into action. You can and you should complete every single workout you run as prescribed in your training plan unless you have a good reason to do so otherwise. So if unless you feel like you have a good reason, unless you feel like really ill, really sore, really just injured overall, unless you have an outright injury, you should not be, you know, slacking off and making excuses, because, you know, if you slack off, you'll never get to where you want to be. But how do you stick to your plan? Well, you first have to recognize that boring is brilliant and simple is best. I know that doesn't sound very, very flashy at all, but what happens is people, including myself, after 7 or 8 weeks, they often change the training because they see that someone else is doing something cool and they jump in. They recognize, hey, I'm a little bit fitter. I'm feeling a little bit better than I was 7 or 8 weeks ago. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, instead of doing 10 by K at threshold, I'm going to sneak in 12 by K at threshold, and we're going to see how that goes. And then, well, what do you see? What do you see 2 weeks later? Their training has completely changed. So what you really have to do is trust the plan. If your training is going well, great. Keep going. Stick to the basics, you know, and it's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of willpower to not go that extra mile. It sounds silly because most of the time people are saying you have to go that extra mile, and it's hard to go the extra mile. But a lot of times it's actually hard to not go the extra mile, especially if you're wanting to train hard and you love the training process. But a lot of times you just have to trust the plan, trust how it's going to play out, and stick to the basics. Do the basics really well, and that is really key. If you're achieving small chunks of progress, that is really what's going to happen, and that's really what's going to make the big gains over time. Think of it like this. If you have a nail and you're trying to hammer it into a board, let's say you're just getting 1 millimeter every few hits of the hammer, that's great. That means you're getting progress. That means you're getting little bits of progress over time. If you get this 1 millimeter consistently over time, that just means that, you know, over a long stretch of time, you'll eventually get that nail into the board. Rather, it's a whole bunch better just hammer it slowly, bit by bit, rather than having your buddy come up to you and say, hey, you want this power drill? It might make it so much better. And so you take the power drill, you know, you try to get the nail in, but guess what? You wreck the nail and you wreck the board. Think of your running like that. If you can see simple, small chunks of progress with the boring and simple hammer, then that's great. Don't change anything. I know it's hard. Sometimes you want to turn on the jets, but you really have to just, you know, relax. Take a step back. And if you really do feel super motivated, then what I would recommend doing is spreading your motivation to different areas. Maybe you really do like the running process. Great. Maybe you're super motivated to do all of the training and a little more, but you really have to stick to the plan. So what are you going to do? You're going to dial in the other aspects of your training. You're going to dial in your sleep, something that, you know, can be hard for a lot of people. Your nutrition, your foam rolling, your stretching, something that a lot of runners don't prioritize. Your strength training, which is something that most runners don't even know about. So if you're really feeling motivated and you really want to go that little bit harder, just try to pull yourself back a little bit, and that'll be so, so much better. But yeah, in order to really execute your plan, you first have to have a good plan in place at first, but you also have to have a good goal in place. You have to set clear and manageable goals. You also have to set realistic goals. You know, if you're trying to break 3 hours for the marathon, which is a common goal for a lot of people, then you first have to be able to break 4 hours first. And so if you can't break 4 hours for the marathon, well, then I don't know how you're gonna break 3 hours. I'm sorry to say it. You also need to know why you're gonna achieve it, and that can be great motivation. And then you also have to make sure that your goals are realistic. And if your goals are not realistic, then you have to stick to the plan. Another thing that I find really, really helpful is that you have to make your goals measurable. And I know this can be hard for a lot of people to make their goals measurable, but you have to have steps along the way. Think of it like checkpoints. You know, if you are like, you know, if you have like a certain amount of miles that you want to run per week, you know, go to the gym X amounts of time per week. It needs to be realistic stepping stones. But if you can dial in these little things, maybe have a way to see if you're on track. Maybe that's a training log or a notebook, something like that. Just go get out a piece of pen and paper. It's that simple. Try to see at the end of the week, self-accountability. Did you do the little things? And if you didn't, then put systems in place so that you can develop the discipline so that you can execute the plan and do the things that really matter. You, the person I'm talking to, you are in control of sticking to the plan. If you start to miss the little things, then it just completely becomes your fault if on race day you can't achieve your goal. I'm sorry to say it, I'm not a motivational speaker, but that is just me. If you can't achieve your goal on race day because you didn't stick to the plan, that is completely your fault. However, even though I do preach sticking to the plan, and I love sticking to the plan because that is just how you gotta do it, there are some situations in which you must deviate from the plan. You know, you may have an injury or illness. That is inevitable. You know, I've had so many injuries. I've had pretty much every injury imaginable. I've had hip injuries, calf injuries. I've had foot aches. You know, I think the only injury I haven't actually had is a shin splint, which is actually kind of surprising because shin splints are actually like the most common running injury, yet I haven't had them, so that's pretty funny. But, you know, you're inevitably going to have an issue during your running journey at some point. Injury, illness, maybe your progress is stagnating and you need to change the training stimulus. Whatever the issue is, let's think logically about changing our plans and not emotionally. Now, there are three main ways to change the plan. The first is single workout adjustments. In order to train well, you must understand that you must listen to your body every day. If you have a coach, you know, your coach is just not gonna know like how you feel. Like, there's not some like special monitor that he implants in your legs that's gonna like, he's gonna know how you feel. He's not gonna say, hey, Timothy, I noticed that on your monitor, it says that your legs are sore, so you're gonna take the day off today. And you're not gonna go, yes, coach, because that doesn't exist. You have to listen to your body for yourself. If you have a coach, you have to tell your coach. And overall, you have to have three plans for each day. You have to have a plan A, and your plan A is to always do your originally scheduled workouts. So if you have 5x2K at threshold, your plan A would just be to do 5x2K at threshold. And that's what, you know, every runner wants to do. Every runner, when you look at your training plan, you see all this plan A, and you're just like, yes, I want to do plan A. And so you have to have your plan A, but you also have to be ready to move to plan B or C if necessary. And when you do have to deviate from plan A, don't get stressed out. Just relax. It's one run. It's not going to be a huge deal. if you feel a little niggle or a good deal of soreness on the day of a hard workout, just consider adjusting the workout a little bit. It's no big deal. However, I will warn you, it can be pretty difficult to accurately predict how you'll feel and perform during a workout based on how you feel in the hours preceding it. Therefore, what I recommend doing, except in the cases where you are certain that you need to cancel or modify a workout, what I recommend you do is that you start the planned workout and simply cut it short if you feel that you are tired or unable to perform it adequately. But unless you are sick or you develop an outright injury, you should always try to get at least a small training stimulus in daily, because a lot of runners look at training as black or white, do or die. You know, I'm either doing the threshold or I'm not. You know, there's no in between. But you have to recognize there is a gray zone. There is a plan B. There's not just a plan A and a plan C. So if you have 4x2k threshold on your schedule, and if you feel tired that day, maybe you instead do 2x2k at threshold. That is totally okay. You at least still got a training stimulus in. That is so much better than postponing the workout until the next day, because you know what happens if you postpone the workout till the next day? You have to postpone the next workout, and you just get into this big cycle, and your whole training is wrecked. So, and if you do feel really terrible, just go ahead and cancel the workout instead of postponing it, and that'll just be so much better. Take an easy day or a day off in extreme cases, and hope that the next time you do a hard workout, you feel so much better. But you know, does that work the other way around? You know, we talked about, canceling or maybe modifying a workout if you don't feel good. But should you replace a workout with a harder workout? You know, should you replace an easy day with a harder day if you're feeling good? Now, if you're feeling good and you're getting fitter, then that obviously means that your training is moving in the right direction. That means that you're training properly and that your fitness is overall doing good, that you're moving in the direction that you need to be moving in to get to your goal race. And so if you're feeling good and your fitness is good, then that means, you know, that's great. That might mean your training is good. That means your plan is good. And you know what that means? That means you should stick to your plan. It never, ever pays to be greedy in your training. It's best to save harder efforts for race day. And if your current training plan is too easy, that's okay. Make your training plan more challenging, but just don't risk spoiling the training plan, the current one, by just being too aggressive. Recognize that there are single workout adjustments that you can make, but also recognize, and here's the second way you can change your plan, that there are also multi-workout adjustments. As the training cycle unfolds, you need to be aware of your fitness. You need to be aware if it's moving in the right direction, or if it's kind of stagnating, or even detraining. I know that, you know, sometimes you can just get caught up in the training process and you can just ignore all these signs. You're just like, yeah, we're gonna hammer on today, boys. And that's not the right decision to make. We've talked all about having goals and checkpoints along the way to actually make sure if you're checking all the boxes when it comes to training. Well, how about for fitness? You can set some checkpoints and fitness assessments to see where you are and if you're progressing in your training cycle. What I like to do personally is I like to go to my local track and maybe I'll do a threshold test, and that is a really good assessment, a fitness assessment, a really good fitness benchmark to see if I'm moving in the right direction. If on my heart rate strap it says, oh, your heart rate is down from last time, then that means I'm getting fitter. It means I'm moving in the right direction. But maybe, you know, you do complete one of these tests, which I really recommend doing. You should go check out my video about threshold or my podcast about threshold tests. But maybe you do complete one of these tests every 6 weeks. And maybe for one of these tests, unfortunately, maybe one of these times you do find that your fitness is not moving in the right direction. Maybe you didn't perform well in these tests. And that's just normal. It's going to happen one of these times. But that does not mean that your training is not working. You know, you might have just one bad day every once in a while. But if you start to notice there's just this pattern of consistently not doing well, you know, maybe there are certain types of workouts where you aren't feeling good. Maybe it is like those fitness assessments. Maybe whenever you do threshold, maybe whenever you do long run, which is something that I really like. But whenever you do a long run, maybe you start to feel that your lungs always give out before your legs. That might be a sign that your aerobic fitness is lagging. Maybe you do some speed workouts or intervals and hill sprints. Maybe you just feel sluggish all the time, or you feel weak while running uphill, or you find that you do some specific workouts and your performance is subpar. That might be a sign that a specific area of fitness is not working or is not moving in the right direction. Now, like I said, experiencing one of these signs by itself like one bad workout does not mean that your training is flawed and should be adjusted. Everyone has bad days. I have bad days. I probably had a bad day yesterday and I didn't even know it. Sometimes those bad days just so happen to be on a day that is important. And sometimes you just have to have a sense of perspective and you just have to brush off certain signs that, you know, it's just nothing to worry about. You really need to develop an ability to react only to the signals that demand a response. You must learn to understand the final destination of your training, and it's hard to do, but you need to maintain this perspective that to needed to accurately judge whether your fitness is truly on track to the degree off track to the degree where you need to make a multi-workout adjustment. So you really need to make, sometimes these decisions are hard to make, but most of the time you really don't need to be making a multi-workout adjustment and just a single workout adjustment. But let's say you do have to make a multi-workout adjustment, and plus, trust me, I've made many of these multi-workout adjustments before, but the formula for making these adjustments, it's pretty simple. If your speed or neuromuscular fitness is lagging, and you know, a great example of that would be like, I'm not feeling good in my strides, you know, my hill sprints are weak, my speed workouts are weak. If you feel like your neuromuscular fitness is lagging, maybe you do something simple. Maybe you just add some strides, some hill sprints. Maybe you add some short intervals into your training for the next 2 to 3 weeks, while also slightly reducing your aerobic or specific training. Instead of doing 8x1K at threshold, maybe you do just 6x1K, but instead of, you know, just keeping it just threshold, maybe at the end of the workout you add 4x200 at like mile pace. That is great. Or maybe if your aerobic fitness is lagging, you add some more threshold. It doesn't matter low end or high end. Maybe you just add a little more threshold for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I know I love threshold, so this is pretty easy to do, but instead of doing 8x1K at threshold, maybe you do 10x1K at threshold, and then maybe reduce the amount of speed intervals that you do. And then maybe if your specific fitness is lagging, add some more specific training for the 2 to 3 weeks. And you know, you get the gist. You know, if something is lagging, add a little bit more of it, and then start to taper down the other areas of your fitness curve. That way you aren't overworking yourself. But after executing your suggested and adjusted workouts, after you do this, start to have a look at, did I get better? Did my fitness get better? And if it did, great. Maybe you start to continue, or you know, you revert back to your old training. Just try to make a sensible decision. Now, it is possible, and you know, it is unfortunate, but it is true that two components of your fitness can be lagging simultaneously. If that is the case, then that lag of two components of fitness, that actually might be due to overtraining. I'm sorry to say it, you know, there's nothing you can really do about it at this point besides just like rest. But if you do have an overtraining problem, then you should go check out my video about, or my podcast about overtraining. But if you do feel that multiple places of your fitness are at a weakness, then you should probably make a multi-workout adjustment. But just try to avoid those. If you really feel a red flag coming up, then try to address it immediately and take a single workout adjustment, because taking one day off now is better than taking like a week off, 3 weeks off, whatever it is. Trust me, I've been there before. Now, the third adjustment that you can make to your training is adjustments affecting the remainder of the training cycle. In some case, you might have an injury or an illness that may arise that may affect the remainder of your training cycle and even perhaps your goal race. In most cases, if you decide to, you know, jump on the injury when a red flag arises, you should be able to simply rest for a few days and, you know, get back to where you were before and then return to full training. But if you suffer a serious injury that takes you out for, you know, multiple days, like many days on end, maybe it doesn't even have to be an injury. You know, I recognize that life is just not about injuries. It's, you know, you could be having some work stress, some family stress. You could be having an illness. Maybe you have a 10-day flu. You know, let's go with that. You had a 10-day flu. Terrible. You know, you're debilitated for 10 days, and that's terrible. Then what you really need to do is, when you get back into training, a cautious approach is the best way to go. Because anytime you miss more than just 5 days of training, you really need to be cautious and ramp it back up. For the first 2 to 3 days of back, really just run comfortably, run by feel, start at an easy pace, and just go out. Only as long as you feel comfortable. If you feel good, then, you know, just pull yourself by the leash. Recognize that patience is key, and that is really gonna feel good. And on the fourth day of you coming back, perform a workout. And if you feel like you've just lost just a little bit of fitness, you know, you haven't lost a lot, just maybe a smidgen of fitness, then you can, over the next 10 days, you can start to really get back into your normal training. But unfortunately, maybe one of these times that you do experience a little bit of a setback, you do feel like you've lost quite a bit of fitness, then what you really need to do is that you just need to scrap the original plan and create a new one. And I'm not saying throw it all out the window, because, you know, like, if you're throwing it all out the window and you're just going to give up for 5 weeks, that is a complete quitter's mentality. And I'm not saying you should follow that. Like, you should never follow a quitter's mentality. But if sometimes you really do need to scrap the plan and you really just need to start from scratch, start all over, and really make a plan that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be, where your goal race is, and that essentially you just want to be increasing your fitness to the point where it can is as high as possible without injury from where you are now to your goal race. And even if that's not a lot of time, and sometimes you just even have to scrap your peak race, you know, that's life. You know, you might have an injury that might take you out for a little while, and sometimes you have to scrap your peak race, and that is a hard decision to make. You know, Olympians even have to make these decisions, but it's often the right one. Find a peak race to aim for, a new peak race to aim for, maybe it's just a few weeks later, and just simply adjust the training so that you can be starting a new training cycle to prepare for that race. Thank you for listening to episode 43 of the Sunday Shakeout. I hope you all really enjoyed this episode. I think this episode was pretty chill. How to execute your training. Simple idea, but you know, it can get pretty complex after a little bit. Ideally, if you need to adjust your training, which, you know, every runner during a training cycle will likely need to adjust their training. If you do need to adjust your training, I recommend that you do single work or try to, here's the thing. If you can try to, if it's an injury or something like that, try to get on top of it as soon as possible. Because if you can get on top of it as soon as possible and make a single workout adjustment, it is so much better than having to make a 5-10 day adjustment, because you push through day one and now you're like, you're just not good, because now you dug yourself in a hole and, well, it's going to take a few days to climb out of that hole. So instead, maybe you hit a little bump in the road. Instead of trying to run on a flat tire, you should just stop, fix the tire, you know, get on Google Maps, go find the discount tire, and go there, rather than keep driving on the tire before you get out in the middle of nowhere and then just try to find a discount tire. It does not work. Same thing with running. So if you do find that you are running into a little bit of an injury problem, maybe you have a little bit of a niggle, and it's getting worse as the run goes on, cut the run, you know, come back tomorrow, fight another day, and if it feels worse, then maybe you need to take a little bit more of evasive action, but don't be one of those guys who's going to push through an injury. It is not going to get better. But, you know, execution is key. Stick to the training. I think that a lot of runners, they get sidetracked and they just decide to go, ooh, shiny red ball, you know, touchy-feely, I get this new workout. When in reality, they had training that was working for them just little by little, and they just decide to scrap their training for something different that doesn't work, but they think works. It does make sense why runners do that. I do it myself, so I get it, runners, but, you know, don't do that. It just doesn't work. So just one method, just take away from this episode that you need to stick to your plan. Don't be chasing the shiny red ball syndrome. Simple, boring stuff is good. And just try to avoid taking multi-workout adjustments. Just try to limit the setback from compounding and try to just make single workout adjustments when necessary, and your training process will be so much better, I'm telling you. But yeah, those are just my tips for the day. Have fun executing your training. Training is not something that you should be stressing over. And I have noticed in the last 3 weeks that my podcast quality has gone down a little bit. I'm going to be honest. I think that I've started yelling a little bit in my episodes. I have been starting. I used to be kind of like conversational, if you know what I mean. But now I'm kind of like preaching. And so this episode, I feel like I kind of didn't want to go back to where I was, kind of just be conversational and chill. And I felt like I accomplished that this episode. So I hope that where I'm back, I hope that the real me is back, just real me personality. Hope that we're bringing that out today. And yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, the Sunday Shakeout, and you thought I was back to where I was before, then please leave a like, or it's not YouTube. Follow me, subscribe to the Sunday Shakeout on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I would also greatly appreciate a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts. If you have a question regarding anything running, I'm the man. You can reach out to me at thesundayshakeout@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as humanly possible. Sorry if my voice sounds a little raspy. I just had a little bit of dinner. Carbs, I've heard, are not good for the voice. Not sure if that's true or not, but that's what I've learned. So we're going to finish this outro. I hope you all have a really good day. Peace out. This is the Sunday Shakeout. And stay tuned, because after the outro song, we're going to have a little joke from my dad. So peace out. Hey, Dad, you got a joke for today?
Oh, yeah, you bet I do. Hey, I used to know this guy a few years ago, and he was a train conductor, you know, the guy that drives the train up
front.
Yeah. And he was a really bad train conductor. Like, he didn't follow speed limits, he drove his train recklessly, and he actually caused a big wreck, and he killed somebody.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is in Bulgaria. And so what happened was, they took him to court, and they sentenced him to death. And on his deathbed, they strapped him down an electrocution chair, and they said, "Hey, what's your final wish?" And he said, "I just want a banana. I just want to eat a banana before I die." So they gave him banana, he ate banana. So the executioner flipped the switch. Sparks flew, smoke came up. And when the smoke cleared, he was still alive. So by Bulgarian law, you can only have one attempt at execution. And then if they don't execute you on that attempt, then you're free. So they freed him. He went back to his old job. He got his job back as a conductor on the train. Yep, same old tricks, driving the train recklessly. Guess what? He had another wreck. This time he killed two people. So, same thing. Back to court, same judge. The judge is like, "I'm sentencing you to death for killing two people. Tied in an electric chair, you know, got everything ready. What's your final wish?" "I want two bananas." So the guy got two bananas. He ate his two bananas. The executioner flipped the switch. And smoke and sparks flew. Soon the smoke cleared. He's still alive. Same thing. Everybody's thinking this divine intervention now. So according to Bulgarian law, they let him go. Gets his old job back. Driving the train.
How does he get his job back? Yeah. Dang.
Well, I don't know. You know, who knows? Maybe there's a really shortage of people who are qualified to drive trains here. So he's driving his train. Still hasn't learned his lesson. Driving recklessly. You know, way too fast around curves. Doesn't even bother blowing his horn. Causes a massive wreck and three people die.
Dang.
Yes. Goes back to court, sits in front of the same judge, and the judge is like, "I sentence you to death by electrocution again." He goes, "And this time, I've heard all about you. This is the third time you're in court for, like, manslaughter. There will be no bananas. Face your death. I don't want to see you in this courtroom again." So they tie him to the chair, and, you know, they prep him. Don't ask him what he wants. He's just sitting there. The executioner flips the switch. Sparks fly. Smoke clears. He's still there. He's not dead. He's alive and kicking.
Why?
And the judge is, you know, back in the chamber watching, and he's like, "What?" He goes up to him. He goes, "You didn't have any bananas. What happened? How are you possibly still alive?" And he goes like, so the train conductor's like, "You know, to be honest with you, I'm really, that's got nothing to do with bananas. I'm just a really bad conductor."
Ah!
Anytime. Just ask for a joke.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.